Human Services and the Ad Council.
The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Are we on?
Yeah, we're on.
The air?
And whatever you call the podcast technology.
I've never done this. Just kidding. I've done this 49 times now.
Oh, it's almost 50.
Okay.
Here we go. Episode number 49 of the Wausau Business Show.
And now, here are your Granite Peak Shredding, Muskie Hunting, Melissa Langben Levin, Brad Emanuel Groupies, Ryan and Paul.
The Wausau Business Show.
Might have a little dirt on my boots, but I'm taking you uptown tonight. Gonna hit the club, gonna cover up, burn it up like neon lights. Might have a little dirt on my boots, but we're gonna dance the dust right off them tonight.
Okay, spring has sprung. It's official.
Yeah, welcome.
Here we are in the season of spring. We just got a good 6 inches of snow.
I think that was the first day of spring, actually, that happened.
How much are we supposed to get tomorrow?
I think another 6 inches.
Seriously?
Something like that. Yeah, yeah. Oh,
thanks, Chad.
Yeah, I normally don't blame the weatherman. Sorry, Chad, but you're to blame for this one, buddy.
Haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That'll be great for all the breakers leaving out of CWA. Hopefully your flights are on
right.
time, everybody. Leaving for spring break.
Speaking of spring, time of growth, there's a lot of things growing around Wausau right now.
Well, the seeds have been planted, Paul.
Okay.
Can we just, let's just back up a second.
Okay.
Take a couple
steps back. Yep.
Paul Abdul used to sing, two steps forward, I take two steps back.
Yeah.
We'll get together and opposites attract. No, I think a better song for this one is Changes by David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
David Bowie. Think about this. If you take a step back in Wausau,
let's do it.
Let's just do a recap. We all know, I think it's not really a Wausau business rumor. Everybody knows this probably by now, but the Great Dane is closing.
Yeah, I heard that. That's a big, beautiful space that someone can move into of some sort of event.
I heard Hufford and Hops is coming back.
A place where you can grill your own steak.
It's, what's the guy that started Playboy? That's a trick question, Paul. You passed.
Thank you. I noticed the silence. I can't remember the guy's name.
Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, Hugh Hefner.
It wasn't Hefner and Hobbs. It was Hereford and Hobbs.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I heard they're coming back. No?
I think you're starting that rumor.
Oh, okay. Wausau business rumor that we start. Hereford and Hobbs is coming back to Great Dane. That's why they're closing down.
Well, the space is going to be available. I know that.
Yeah, but somebody else is going to move in there. But let's just take a step back.
Yeah.
Seriously. We've got Juliet Craft Cocktail Bar next to the Back When.
Yeah.
Super cool place.
Yeah, very cool.
You've got Limerick's, which kind of broke last week on the Wausau Business Show, that's moving to...
Moving to Third.
Third, down by...
Evolutions.
Down
and
by
the
Evolutions.
Y,
and that's such a great block. I remember this guy came to town and he was like an expert on walkability. His name was Jeff Speck.
Okay.
He's like a Harvard something about walkability and civil engineering or something like that.
He's got Harvard attached to him somehow.
Yeah,
okay.
And he researches and he wrote the book on walkability. I think it's called Walkability or something
okay.
like that. And it's all about how if you make a city more walkable, people will like living there more. And before COVID, he came and gave a big speech.
Right.
And before he gave his big speech to like 150 people in Wausau that were interested in walkability.
Yeah, right.
He went around the town and did some research.
Okay.
And he said, of all the blocks in your town, the number one block is that block that Evolutions and Downtown Grocer and everything else is on. He said, that is the number one most pristine, best block that is in the city of Wausau.
It's kind of like small town USA as you look at it, too.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Architecturally, Main Street, everything. For whatever reason, the way that he analyzes his stuff.
And he's got Harvard attached to his name, so we should believe him.
Sure. He said that that was the best block, in his opinion, and his expertise. And then he said that that intersection down by Whitewater's moving now. A lot of changes.
I know. There's a lot of changes.
Let's get back to that David Bowie.
Yeah.
Change. He said that intersection by Whitewater, that's it's got Whitewater and then the apartments and then the old JCPenney's coming into downtown Wausau. He said that that's his least favorite intersection.
Oh, welcome to the club. Mine too.
The least walkable, and that there needs to be a roundabout there.
It takes 10 minutes to cross it on foot. Talk about not walkability.
They're talking about putting a bridge over it.
Sure.
It's so bad.
I'll take it.
It's ridiculous.
I can't get over to that kayak course.
You can't get over there.
In less than 10 minutes.
And you're constantly trying. trying to see those kayakers.
Almost every day I try to go over there and I fail.
So we've got Limericks is moving down to By Juliet.
Yeah.
It's still going to be called Limericks, obviously, but it's going to be brand new.
Yeah, Corey's opening it up. He's really excited. He was on the show last week announcing that.
You've got the new Venado in the Dudley Tower.
Yeah, I don't know that that's still there.
Oh.
That was sort of short-lived.
That was a flash in the pan.
But
they're moving in. We hear that they're moving into the Foundry on 3rd apartment complex outside the Children's Imaginarium, and they still have their place that's across from the Y down there.
Yeah, right by Evolutions again.
So a lot going on there. Then you've got Nevermore on 3rd. Been open a while now.
Rebranded as Nevermore.
It used to be the Pollock Inn.
That's right. Right across the street from the Glass Hat, which I believe is the oldest bar in Wisconsin.
Oldest bar in Wisconsin. Then you got Norwegian Wood, which I got to stop there today. But then you've got the new apartments coming on the west side of the river.
Right.
In the old Battery Building. You've got new condos that have been recently announced on the Riverwalk.
Jeez.
Which I believe Chuck Dorsey is doing, who still needs to come on the Wausau Business Show.
Chuck, you got an open invite, buddy.
Come on, Chuck. New condos there. Then you've got new condos / apartments, we hear, going in across. It's the old Wifley Building across from the Dudley Tower.
Okay.
That's been, we hear, confirmed.
And they're going to convert that into living quarters, if you will.
We hear there's some stuff coming down the pipe around the Jefferson Street Inn that we can't announce yet.
Wow.
We've got stuff going on at State Park Speedway.
Big news coming there.
Coming down the pipe.
What else? I mean, what a list.
You want me to keep going?
This is some list, yeah.
The Cobblery Building, we know, has been sold.
Okay,
you know a thing or two about that.
Yeah, I might have a little bit of inside information there.
Some dopes are trying to put in a nice restaurant there.
Good luck, fellas.
And is there something else on my list? Oh, yeah. Red Lobster!
Yeah! All right, can't forget. Save the best for last. Wausau loves Red Lobster.
Vanessa Williams, can you?
May you?
Sometimes the snow comes down in spring.
Yeah, it's spring.
Is it spring?
Case.
Is it spring? Please say spring.
It's June, I think. Let's hear it. It's a beautiful tune.
Does she say spring or June?
She says June.
Oh. Sometimes the snow comes down in the spring.
Yeah.
Sometimes the sun goes round the moon. They had that eclipse the other day. Did you watch the sun going around the moon?
You know, what's interesting is the sun doesn't go around the moon. I think technically the moon goes around the sun.
And the earth is flat.
We promise not to get into politics or flat earth theories, okay? Those are off limits.
Sometimes the sun goes round the moon. So save the best for last. Red Lobster.
Yeah. Cheddar biscuits, baby.
Old, what is it? Amendola? I think that's his name.
Yeah,
the Amendola. CEO, Amendola. Well, we've got some things coming down the pike with Amendola.
Good.
Is it Amendola?
Yeah.
Positive?
No. I think it is.
Damola. We do have some things. We haven't given up on our dream about Red Lobster for you, Wausau.
Right.
It's not our dream. It's like we like to say it's Wausau's dream to have a Red Lobster. It would just bring so much closure.
It'll bring closure to decades of sorrow without Red Lobster.
Yeah. Yeah. So Damola is the CEO of Red Lobster.
Yep.
And we may or may not have some announcements coming up on the Wausau Business Show about Red Lobster.
We're staying at it. I mean,
let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
You're going to want to tune in next week and the week after.
Yeah.
Because we have some special things coming around Red Lobster coming up on the Wausau Business Show. But the point is, it's a lot of changes, Paul.
Yeah, a ton of changes.
Changes.
Yeah.
All right, so who's coming up on the show this week? This is an awesome episode of the Wausau Business Show because we are honored to have Wisconsin's Manufacturer of the Year on
number
the Wausau
one.
Business Show.
Yeah.
Number one.
Wow.
Weinbrenner, Thoroughgood Boots, one of my favorites. Got them on right now.
Yep.
Steel Toad, President Jeff Burns, and VP of Operations Rob Burnett coming in.
Senior Vice President of Operations.
They're
Rob
not
Burnett.
Coming in. We're going there.
No, we're going to go
going
there.
Going up to Merle.
Yeah, to see Jeff and Rob and talk to them about what it means to be the number one manufacturer in the state of Wisconsin in 2024.
Very
amazing
cool.
Honor.
One of my favorite brands in central Wisconsin, all of Wisconsin, and one of my favorite brands, period. They've been doing a great job with it. So that's coming up. We got a great interview with them coming up. We're going up there. Number one in the state of Wisconsin.
They took home the top honor for manufacturers of the year in this whole entire state.
Episode number 49. Just one more to go to the 50 mark.
Yeah, 50's a big one.
And we'll give you a hint about what we're doing on episode 50. Weinbrenner, we're going to keep with the wine thing.
Oh, I like that. See where you're going with that. Yep.
All right, we'll be right back with the president and senior VP of operations for Weinbrenner, Thoroughgood Boots.
Yeah, can't
Thoroughgood.
Wait. Let's get a barrel.
Let's go. We'll be right back on the Wausau Business Show.
Yeah. You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
The Wausau Business Show.
For over 130 years, Ameriprise Financial has helped millions of Americans retire on their terms by providing advice for their unique goals. Stop in today at Strongbridge Wealth Advisors, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Advisors, LLC, and develop a customized plan for your retirement. Call Strongbridge Wealth at 715-849-3697. Office is located at 2711 Stewart Avenue, Wausau, Wisconsin. Visit us online at strongbw.com. Not FDIC or NCUA insured. No financial institution guarantee. May lose value. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Why should your business consider Incredible Bank? It's simple. We'll help you do the incredible. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur, a growth-focused business pro looking to expand, or a nonprofit founder dedicated to bettering your community, we have the products, services, and commitment to help you achieve your goals. Discover how we can power your success. Visit IncredibleBank.com or stop by one of our branches today. Incredible Bank, member FDIC.
And now, Mayor of the City of Wausau, Doug Dinney, with the dramatic reading of the Red Lobster menu.
Lobster lover's dream. Roasted Caribbean rock and Maine lobster tails paired with lobster and shrimp linguine. Served with your choice of two sides. As a reminder, every entree comes with two warm cheddar biscuits. As Mayor of Wausau, I would welcome Red Lobster to our great city.
It's a big job just getting by with nine kids and a wife. But I've been working, man, dang near all my life, and I'll keep on working. Long as my two hands are fit to use. I'll drink my beer at a tavern, sing a little bit of these working man blues.
It's the Wausau Business Show.
Hi. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And here we are at Weinbrenner. This is a real honor. Thoroughgood, Rob Burnett, and Jeff Burns.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you.
An audience here,
wow.
Too.
Yeah.
There.
This studio audience.
Okay. So we are in the formal. Is this like your conference room or boardroom or what do you call this?
This is one of our conference rooms.
Okay.
It's kind of turned into a media room lately.
Lately, yeah.
Yeah.
This is where the magic happens. Okay. You're in the right place.
Yeah. Decked out. So Rob Burnett is the Senior VP of Operations and Jeff Burns is the President. Jeff, you've been with the company since 2011.
That's correct.
And President since 2019.
That's correct. Correct.
We've done our research.
And Rob, you came over from Cabela's.
That's right.
Jeez.
And how long ago was that, Rob?
2018, June okay. of 2018.
Yeah.
After 20 years at Cabela's, I made my way here to Wisconsin.
Jeez. Thoroughgood has been on fire lately. And what are the kind of principles that you brought over from Cabela's that apply at Thoroughgood, would you say?
I'd say the main thing is the discipline in the business.
Okay.
And running your P&L and the operations side of the business. You've got to have processes in place that have to be followed every day. And once they are, you see a lot of success from that. And I learned that for 20 years at Cabela's doing that and learning all those things. And plus, I'd also say leadership.
Okay.
Spent a lot of time on leadership, different leadership opportunities they gave me. And I brought that to this company.
Implementing different scoreboards and things like that?
Absolutely. We have scoreboards on just about everything now. It's you treasure what you measure, right?
Yeah.
So we didn't used to have a lot of that, but we've really implemented a lot of those processes and scoreboards.
Yeah. And how, I mean, it started as a family company, obviously out of Milwaukee. How has it evolved in the past? It seems like it, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like from the outside looking in that Thoroughgood is having its best season of life in the past. Well, since you guys started running the place.
Since 2011.
Thank you.
2018.
Yeah. Is that fair to say, Jeff?
Well, Yes, it is. We were started, like you said, in Milwaukee in 1892.
Yeah, 130 years ago. Wow.
133 so cool. years ago. Yeah. That's right.
And so cool.
There's less than 1% of the companies of any kind in the United States considered over 100 years old.
Right.
We're 133.
That is so cool.
There's been a lot of variations and a lot of different iterations of the company over the years. Back in the early 1900s, like 1919, we were one of the largest shoe companies in the United States.
No.
There were times where we were making 20,000 pair of shoes a day. So, you say, are we having a renaissance now? We are. But back 100 years ago, we were actually one of the largest shoe companies in the country. And then, that's kind of changed. I mean, talk about history. For World War One, we made a lot of boots for the troops in World War One.
Right.
World War Two, we actually took all production and dedicated it to the war effort in World War Two.
Wow.
So we made boots in World War Two.
And that was after the company moved from Milwaukee to Marshfield and then Merrill, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we moved to Marshfield in 1935 and moved to Merrill in 1936.
Yeah. And there's always, I'm assuming that there's always a comparison to Red Wing. So how do you guys distinguish yourselves from the competition, would you say?
We're just better.
Good answer.
I would agree with that.
I mean, it is a competitive market out there, though, with these, this type of footwear. And there's big names out there.
Well, I'm wearing my Thoroughgood steel toes right now. And I can say they're much more comfortable than any other boot I own, even the steel toes. But seriously, how do you guys differentiate yourself in the market, would you say?
I would say, this company is built on a long history of making good quality made in USA boots.
And
USA, some of our companies, other companies, our competitors have as well. But we haven't lost our way. We continue to innovate, make better product, even more comfortable product. But still, a lot of the construction methods are still from quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
We don't want to give up that secret sauce. And this brand really has a lot of, I always call it the secret sauce in what we do. The recipe
That's
is our recipe.
We got to find the secret sauce now, Paul.
Secret for a reason.
I feel like we're at Sam's Pizza all of a sudden.
The secret sauce. But you guys have really had an awakening on social media more, the Thoroughgood brand. I mean, has that been something you guys have seen in your time here that's picked up, social media and just marketing in general?
Well, yeah. Like Rob said, we've got a long history of making quality footwear. Mm-hmm. And we've always made quality footwear. But some of the management prior to us had kind of the mentality, we're a manufacturing company. We're not a marketing company.
Yeah.
Let's leave the marketing companies to the people like Nike and that kind of thing. Well, if you're selling product, you got to be marketing it.
You have to.
I say, you can have the greatest party in the world. If you don't send an invitation, nobody's coming.
Right.
So
yeah.
We really didn't have a marketing department when we took over. So we created a marketing department and then brought in younger people who I don't understand all the other, social media stuff. But sure. I don't have to. I have to hire people that do understand it.
Yeah.
So we built our marketing department and it's been phenomenally successful. And when you have such a great story,
right,
such a great product,
when
you tell people that, they find out about it. They discover it, they like it, they respond to it, and then they tell their friends. And so our grassroots growth has been really strong, and we're gaining momentum in like I said, in marketing. We're getting ready to do another big push for marketing. I think that's really, people are finding out about who we are up here, and they like what they see.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing,
It is amazing because, like you said, if nobody knows about you, they can't choose to buy your product. And so marketing has such an important role in telling that Thoroughgood story in the background. What an incredible story it is. What's your background? Where did you come from before Thoroughgood?
I've worked for several other shoe companies in the industry. I mean, I've started out in sales, transferred over to sales and marketing. And then, like you said, in 2019, I became president of this company. So I've got a background in footwear. I don't want to say how many years that dates.
And what's Thoroughgood's market share these days, roughly, ballpark? In the work boot market.
It's in the single digits.
Yeah. Room for growth. Yeah.
So it's made in the USA, which is obviously a huge differentiator compared to a lot of other brands that are selling into the manufacturing space specifically. But I know that, these shoes are just worn casually as well. But
they're stylish.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So you could say, we're made in the USA. Does that mean a lot of the products that go into the shoe are also sourced in the USA? How does that work?
Yeah, we source as much as we can in the US. Cool. And it's, sometimes it's almost 100%. Sometimes we, depends, like in COVID, supply chains, brass shortages. You know, we have to go and find it where we can find it, whether that's in Spain or Italy or wherever. Yeah. But we primarily focus on USA supply chain to help support the business.
So, and the boots are 100% assembled in the United States.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, yeah. Back here.
Right here.
Right, or in Marshfield. Right. All right, so let me just kick my boots up on the table here, gentlemen.
Yeah, you know, that's good.
It's a hell of a boot.
As I look at this boot, the craftsmanship and the artistry is really, I mean, something that has obviously been baked into the culture of this company for over 130 years. How do you keep that art form going from generation to generation?
Well, like
I'm going to leave my boot up here.
Yeah, if you don't mind. Can I touch it?
Yeah.
it's a culture, like you said. It's baked in, and we call it the culture of quality. And when we took over management of the company, you know, again, it was very much a manufacturing mentality. And you know, there was some good about that because they made great shoes, but you know, they also kind of had old school mentality of, they didn't want to listen to their employees, and you know, we really didn't listen to learn. And so when we became management of the company, we really tried to evolve the culture. You know, and one of our core values is listen to learn.
I saw that. Yeah.
One of our core values is understand what's important.
Yeah.
Integrity. You know, those are all core cultures. And you know, culture, the core values can end up being cliches if you don't live them.
Right.
Them.
Sure. If you just say them and don't do
just
it.
Just high so level wallpaper.
Yeah. That's how we run our business. Yeah. And so that, I think, you know, as we continue to grow, we want to make sure that our quality doesn't slip, because how many companies out there, as they get bigger, their quality slips, and right. You say, they're just not the same company they used to be.
Right.
We don't want that to happen. So we actually think we're making better boots today than we made 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
As we continue to grow, we invest in quality.
And how long does it take to make, what's this model? This is the Thorogood steel toe.
Looks like a 6201.
6201.
I was going to say that.
So how long does it take to make this steel toe boot, roughly?
From beginning to end.
Yeah.
It depends on the shoe, but typically there's 130 steps in making that shoe.
Wow.
From bringing the leather in, the raw hides in,
yeah.
To inspection, to cutting the patterns, to pre-fitting it, to actually putting it all together. So, you know, each boot can, you know, take anywhere from, you know, 30 minutes to 2 hours.
So and it'll start with a thing of leather hanging, basically, and by it within 30 minutes, hour, you have a shoe.
You're cutting it. Yeah. You're cutting it. Well, it depends. Yeah,
okay.
Cutting it. We have Wausau. We have a contractor in Wausau does some sewing for us.
Cool.
We have sewing here.
Supporting local. We like
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But yeah, that's typically, you know, when it comes back in here, that's about how long it takes.
Cool. Where are you getting the rawhide from, out of curiosity?
They're all USA hides, which is important to us.
Yeah,
you know, awesome. We do hang our hat on that. That's what we use all USA hides. So, you know, we use tanneries in Milwaukee right now,
yeah.
Some in Missouri, but they're all USA hides. Now, what farm they come from, I'm not exactly sure, but
yeah,
they're all USA.
Sourced from all over, yeah, I would assume. And this year, you won Wisconsin Manufacturer of the
Congratulations.
Year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
The best That's manufacturer awesome. In the state of Wisconsin. What do you attribute that to?
Again, it's the culture and what we believe.
Yeah.
And we want to make the best product possible. You know, Made in USA is great, and there's pride to be had in Made in USA.
Yeah.
But if you put the flag on an inferior quality product, Made in USA is only going to take you so far.
Sure.
You know, so you know, we make the best product in the world. We make the best boots in the world. Then when you put the flag on a Made in USA, now you don't have the best boot, but you can have the pride of wearing Made in USA.
Yeah. I love that little flag on your boots. It's so cool.
Yeah. And I think people wear them with pride as a result because it is a good product that's made in the USA. You're right. You can't just put Made in the USA and have an inferior product and expect that to go anywhere. Right.
Well, and like any good marketing, when you're wearing a Thorogood boot, it says something about you. Nate's got his Thorogood boots on.
Yeah, he does.
And I got my Thorogood
boots. Look, he's got the little flag.
Nate's
there.
Not allowed in here without his Thorogood boots
yeah,
on. You know
right.
that.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, if I didn't know Nate, I would know a little something more about Nate just by looking at his boots. And I would know that Nate's a hardworking guy who cares about what he does day in and day out. And that's who Nate is. And so I'd see Nate walking down the street and I'm like, oh, that guy's wearing Thorogood boots. I like that guy.
Yeah.
And our people care. I mean, like you said, if you really have a good culture within your company and the people are engaged, you know, they care about what they do. And so I think our people, I know our people really care about what they make.
Yeah. Can you talk about, because you guys, unlike a lot of the manufacturers that we have on the Wausau Business Show, you're unique in the fact that you are union based. Can you talk about how that works and when that started and kind of the dynamics of being a unionized organization?
Yeah, we actually became unionized in 1944. So we've been union for a very long time.
During the war, when you were making boots for the military.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, what does that mean? Our core customer is that blue-collar customer, that pipe fitter, that electrician, that iron worker. You know, that's our core customer.
Salt of America.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the people who built America, we build boots with people who build America.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's their footwear are just an extension of their tools. You know, they wouldn't buy an inferior saw or an inferior, you know, whatever, take your pick.
Yeah.
You know, they want the best when it comes to footwear. And that's what we provide for them. So back to union, like you said, you know, the union pipe fitter, the union electrician, the union iron worker, he relates to not only Made in USA, but union Made in the USA.
Really
differentiates.
Yeah. So is it safe to say your customer base is often union employees and it makes sense for you as an organization to be unionized as well then?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah, so matter of fact, you know, we will probably get into this in a little bit. Building a new facility like we are in Marshfield.
Yeah.
New 70,000 square foot facility.
Beautiful.
You know, where the union contractors bid on the jobs, we awarded those contracts to union shops at over 85% of the people who bid, we awarded to union.
How many union employees do you guys have now?
Got to be around 275.
Yeah. Okay. And then how many non-union? Because office, how does that work? The office employees are non-union and the manufacturer employees are union?
Correct.
Is that how that works?
Correct.
So total employees?
Total employees about 420.
Okay.
Wow.
And it's all ESOP employee owned or?
The union, when we became ESOP in 2000, they chose not to be involved in the ESOP.
Okay.
We matched their 401k at 8%, which is very aggressive.
Yeah, it's a very generous payout.
So they took that. But you know, the thing about it is, even though they're not ESOP members, we still treat them as they're part of the company because they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to do my job. Rob's got to do his job. Well, the guy cutting the leather, the gal sewing, we've all got to do our jobs.
Yeah.
And you know, we really, it's not us against them. It's we all belong to the same company, whether you're union or not.
How does that affect turnover? So do you, all the companies that we talk to, they're looking for employees and employees are churning over and over looking for a better job because everybody's looking for employees. So it's an employee market. You know, how does that work when you're unionized and when you're ESOP focused, when employees own the company or you're unionized, does that improve employee retention and recruiting?
Absolutely. I mean, when you're an ESOP company for the office people, you're part of the decision-making process, right?
Yeah.
You get to make decisions for your fellow employees. We're all on one team. We're not answering to like a public, the street. I always call it the street, or to an owner.
Not thinking quarter to quarter.
We're all thinking about each other when we're making these decisions, when we want to spend a dollar. We're thinking about each other. Now, as far as the union goes, we have a great relationship with the union. We treat them like they are just part of the Weinbrenner family.
Yeah.
Because they are.
They are. And then the culture that over the last, I would say, 5-6 years has really changed that as far as turnover goes. And we used to have a pretty high turnover rate. That's lowered significantly from where we used to be.
Wow.
We used to be like a bridge between the next job.
Now
people are looking at this company as a career, as a great career, and they really enjoy working here. And we do a lot of things to support our employees. You know, we have regular cookouts, you know, we have lunches for them, you know, we have holiday bonuses, and we have all kinds of fun together.
You participate in the August Kickbush event.
Yeah, we were there.
Yes.
Thank you.
You guys fielded a team for the August Kickbush event and your team won.
Defending champions, world champions.
Champions of the Kickbush competition in August, the August Kickbush competition in commemoration of Wausau's first mayor,
August Kickbush.
But Dave, is it Dave Gisselman? Is that how I pronounce that?
Yes.
He is the chairman of the board.
Correct.
Do you both have to report to the board on a regular basis? Is that how that works or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, well, you're president. You don't have to report to anybody. It's like, no, I have to report to the people that I manage and I have to report to the board.
We have to report to the board.
The board has been extremely supportive of our growth and what we're doing. So they've been great.
Has that board been in place for a number of years? Is it the same group?
It's been probably Since I've been president.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, so you guys came in and Jeff, you hired Rob. Is that how that worked?
Correct.
Didn't go the other way around.
No.
So the board hires you as the president, Jeff. And then you're saying, hey, all right, I got to hire an ops guy. We need analytics. We need better operations. We need to
improve efficiency.
Yeah. And they're supporting all this. And then you say, all right, I need to improve the culture. Here's what we got to do. We got to listen to our employees. We got to listen to our customers much better. We got to put in a marketing team. You're going to the board and you're saying that. And then you say, okay, we got all that. Great. We're seeing the results. Now we got to invest tens of millions of dollars into a brand new facility in Marshfield, where we moved from Milwaukee many years ago, before Merrill even. And they said, yeah, okay, sounds good. Let's keep going.
Let's double down.
Well, it's you know,
wasn't that easy, I'm assuming.
No, it wasn't that easy.
I noticed some gray hair.
Yeah, I like how you summarized it, because like that sounded really good.
Yeah. Well, not to mention the new facility here too. Absolutely. In that time frame. Yeah. So there's been a lot of and shaking.
A lot of changes, a lot of investment, and you got to convince the board every step of the way about that, right?
Well, when again, we've always made great product, but we maybe didn't have the right strategy to grow. Mm-hmm. You know, back before I was president, you look 20 years in the past, our top line revenue was, you know, very stagnant.
Okay.
We would go up 5%, down 3%.
You know, flat.
Because overall, we didn't have a plan to grow the business.
Yeah,
so when we took over, as Rob kind of mentioned at the beginning of this interview, we looked at processes. We looked at, okay, we say we want to be X, but if we get the orders for X, can we manufacture it?
Right.
Can we keep up?
The answer was no. So how do we get there?
Yeah.
So we went out and hired the right people to get us to evolve and change. And some people that were in the factory, you know, had a hard time changing. Mm-hmm. And we tried to get them management training, tried to get them leadership training. And some of the ones changed and did well, and others couldn't. So, you know, maybe you're not the right fit for our company, and go and find somebody who could be part of the culture. And so that really helped drive this company.
Yeah, I also like to add, and I got this short little story, but Jeff, I don't know if you remember this or not, but we are literally 2019, Jeff and I are driving to our Marshfield factory. We knew we had to make changes. The company just felt like it was stuck in the mud. And you'll hear us say that a lot. We had to make changes. And we were being courted, I would say, by other states down south that wanted us to start manufacturing there. And, you know, we had a lot of great offers out there. And as we're driving, we're just looking around the countryside going, man, this is a beautiful state.
Mm-hmm.
We've got great employees. We've got great communities that support us. We're like, you know what? We have to invest in Wisconsin manufacturing. We have to invest in ourselves.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, we said, we're going to change the culture. We're going to invest in automation. We're going to invest in leadership training. We're going to invest in us. It's a brand new parking lot out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the little things,
right,
to new machinery, new equipment, safety, all these things that we needed to do to move forward.
Wow.
And that transformation has got us to where we are today, and it got us growing.
So that was a point in 2019 where you said, hey, we got to do something.
We got to do something.
Hey, Let's double down on Wisconsin.
Yep. It boiled down to, we believed in what we were doing.
Yeah.
But we could do it better. You know, the efficiency of it, the continuous improvement aspect of it, we could have done it better. And so that's what we started doing, getting the right people. And, you know, I get a lot of these interviews, and you know, I'm the focal point of the company, which is fine. But I'm never the smartest guy in the room. I mean, I go out and hire the people.
Maybe in this room right now, but.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, if you think you're the smartest guy in the room, you know, you're already at a disadvantage.
Right.
You go out and you hire really good people, and you let them do their job, and you support them. And that's what we've done, and that's what the board has supported us. And we present solid business plans.
Right.
And this is what we're going to do to grow. And we've been successful.
Yeah, you didn't just walk into the board and say, hey, I want to do new marketing. I want to hire a new ops guy. I want to do this and do that. All good? Ready, board?
Yeah.
I want to invest, tens of millions of dollars in a new facility. Okay, sound good? No, I'm sure there was obviously, you know, some
detailed planning.
Detailed planning, return on investment,
yeah,
what you're going to get. And these are really astute business people, and you've got to go to them with your ducks in a row.
Yeah.
Or they'll
anticipate the questions they're going to ask you, you know, all that stuff.
And there's always one we don't anticipate. There's always one.
We'll get back to you on that one, Bob. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. So now, does the board consist of just local leaders, or is it people throughout the state of Wisconsin?
There's two retired executives from Green Heck.
Okay.
There's one who's Incredible Bank.
And, bank obviously through Incredible then, or
only because they're the best?
Okay,
not because of any connection. Right.
So Incredible Bank is a partner with you on the new facility in Marshfield.
Great partner with us. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You guys, Jeff and Rob, did you know each other before Jeff? You hired Rob?
Not really.
Okay, so because it seems like you guys are pretty close.
We put up a good facade.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah, but I mean, that must have a lot to do with it. The energy that you guys create as a team obviously is infectious as well, it seems. But that dynamic between the two of you seems to be
right.
A good hit.
Again, leadership is that you've got a vision, you've got a plan, and you relate that to the people who then believe in you. We can disagree behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. We walk out from the door and we put a united front up in front of the, because the people need to believe that we're in sync, that we know what we're doing, we're running the company.
How many more years you got left in you there, pal? Well,
I don't know.
He's looking around. Yeah. Trying not to make it too awkward, but I am curious.
The thing about it is, it's stressful at times, no question about it. And, you know, I talk to other people, it's like, why would you want to be president of a company with all the pressures? But I say with this company, it's very satisfying. The growth that we're experiencing, the direction that we're going.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear people on the floor, the factory people say, I love this company. And, you know, when you hear people who wear our product, I love the product.
Right.
And, you know, that's very, very satisfying. So
I think I heard about 10 years. No.
Did you just say 10 years?
I'm kidding. As long as it's fun, right? I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, I turned 65, so you know, we'll see.
Congrats.
How longer. Yeah, congratulations. I mean, what an amazing run. I'm curious about your opinion, but what I've noticed is that companies that invest in their marketing and their story is one of the things that often goes underrated in consideration of marketing strategies is the impact that it has on employees. And I would imagine that when in the Super Bowl, your ad that you guys had, even locally airing here,
right.
I would imagine that that pumps up the team when they see all this great marketing and the story of Thoroughgood being told to the world and the impact that that has internally as well. I think that
there's no doubt. Yeah. There's no doubt. Our employees love to see it. Love to see any kind of marketing, whether it's social media or a Super Bowl commercial. Yeah. I mean, they're proud of where they work. And I think that's, again, part of that secret sauce is that people are proud and engaged in this company, which makes it a lot of fun for us.
Yeah.
When you see people buy into the strategy, the plan, I mean, it's so exciting to see it get executed the way you want to see it executed. And they're having fun doing it because they believe in it.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely an energy when you walk in and your marketing is a function of that. Obviously, your marketing is an outward expression of that energy that you feel here when you walk in or when you put the boots on. I mean, I walk with a little hop in my step, I must say, when I wear Thoroughgood boots.
Yeah, I can tell you're feeling good today with those boots on.
I do better plumbing, even though I'm not in the union.
Well, yeah, even for our office employees who can just walk out the back door and see the product being made.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I mean, they're part of something big, right?
For sure.
And the shoes are being made right here.
How fast are you guys growing now? You said, you know, back in 2019, we're kind of skirting along, skipping across the surface, down 5, up 5, but always regress back to the mean. What's growth at these days? What, can we play Price is Right? Paul and I love this game. I'm going to guess 8 to 12% annually.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and weigh in, if I may.
I did a range.
Yeah. You can't do a range.
Sorry, Price is Right. You can't do anywhere.
I'm going to do 7 to 35% is my range. No, I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say it feels like it. Maybe that's a testament to marketing and to their social media presence, but I think they're growing at a pretty good clip. I'm going to go 18% growth.
Wow. That's aggressive.
That's expensive.
Am I hired?
Okay, yes.
The answer is yes.
So pretty good growth rate, though.
We're doing all right.
We're doing well. I mean, sometimes the world doesn't cooperate. I mean, you know, you get COVID happening or inflation or recession happening. And now what's going on here with consumer confidence being a little shaken.
Yeah.
But you know, our product, again, is really done well. And we hear routinely from our dealers that we are still one of the best selling product that they've got in our category.
Yeah. I mean, our growth is, we'd like to say, is a responsible growth.
Yeah.
I'm keeping the bottom line healthy. That's what's really important in an ESOP company.
And obviously north of five.
We're still doing the prices right.
Yeah, you're still trying to get us to pin down to one number, aren't you?
Or at least a range. Yeah. I mean,
it's better than it was, is my point, right?
Yeah, with the five up, three down, et cetera. Yeah.
I will say it's good enough to where we can afford to renovate 142,000 square foot building here in Merrill.
Amen.
And build a 70,000 square foot building in Marshfield.
Amen. Yeah, times ain't bad. Yeah.
So it's good enough to do that.
Yeah, because you're not going through all these gyrations and not seeing that growth. If I'm gambling, I'm betting on Weinbrenner and Thoroughgood Boots.
Me too.
Yeah. What's your best market in terms of regions?
Geography?
Yeah.
We do really well here locally, you know, in the Midwest. We do really well with retailers like Mills and Blaine's, you know, do real well with us.
Mills Fleet Farm.
Yeah, Mills Fleet Farm. California is a huge market for us.
Oh, wow.
And Texas is huge market for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Coming on.
Southeast.
Where's the most growth?
I tell you, it's across the country. Yeah. I mean, it really is.
I would think.
As we, again, when people, as I said before, when people find out about us, they like what they see, and that's what that momentum is.
Do you have a goal? You know, we talked about single-digit market share. Do we have a goal of double that or get up to 20%, or is that like a pie in the sky, BHAG type goal or anything you think about?
Yeah, we do five-year projections. So, you know, crystal ball can get sometimes cloudy 5 years out because you just don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we've got very aggressive growth plans for the next 5 to 10 years.
The world needs more Thoroughgood is what I'm getting after.
I concur.
Yeah.
It's like you said, we build work boots, but it's a classic, iconic look, great quality, great fit, great look. And we get a lot of people wearing them, as we all are around the table here, wearing them for lifestyle.
Right.
And wearing them with a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not chasing that lifestyle look. We're a work boot, but people want the authenticity of it. And like I said, we get a lot of people wearing them for casual wear.
Yeah, you're leaning into what people want already. You're not creating this look or this style. You're leaning into what people already want.
They want an authentic, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't market authenticity. You're either authentic or you're not.
Exactly.
We're authentic.
Boy, these are much different conversations, I'm sure, than they were having 10, 20 years ago when it was really just manufacturing focus. Because I don't mean any
disrespect
by this, but I would imagine that 15, thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
15 or 20 years ago, you know, they just weren't connected with the consumer on that level or that strategic, you know, kind of mindset.
What do you want your company to be? I mean, do you want just a nice little company that's profitable year in and year out and not really growing? But we look at it as if you're not growing as a company, you're dying.
Yeah, you're moving back.
You've got to grow. You've got to invest. And so that's what we did. We again, put a plan together. Not just we're going to be this, but here's how we're going to be this.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Geez, I don't know what the recruitment process was for Jeff, but they hired the right guy. And then obviously, Jeff, you hired the right guy and Rob. And what a great team. Tariffs, I would imagine. You mentioned, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in the market right now because of those tariffs that are going on. You know, the fact that you guys are manufacturing in the United States and sourcing in the United States, that doesn't impact you as much as it would if you weren't, I would assume, right?
100% right.
Yeah.
Puts you in an amazing spot right now, competitively.
It feels like a good spot to be in right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we're watching it every day, right? Like everybody else is, and it's crazy what you see out there, you know. But, you know, what if tariffs affect other things besides footwear, right? You'd think, yeah, made in USA footwear would be great, but if it's affecting grocery prices other prices, then that could affect, you know, consumer spend as well.
So. Yeah, tangentially. Yeah. And then, Jeff, I noticed on LinkedIn, you commented on what was going on over over at Leinenkugel's, and I know that this was Thorogood and Weinbrenner being, you know, a family-owned company. It started as a family company, and then it grew into this ESOP, and it's always kind of had that same DNA and lineage. And what happened over at Leinenkugel's is kind of a travesty, where Molson Coors acquired it from the Leinenkugel family after 50-plus years, and then Molson just decided to shut it down.
Moving out of Chippewa.
Yeah. I mean, that is a travesty, the likes of which are comparable to what's his nuts out there in LA firing Melissa Langbent.
Oh, yeah.
Channel 9. Yeah.
What's his nuts? I won't even give it lip service.
Yeah. But can you speak about the heritage and the importance of keeping a family company in a community?
Well, yeah. And the thing about it is, like you said, we were owned by the Weinbrenner family for many, many years. And then they sold it off in 1960. They spun that then to 1966 to a company called Bata Shoe.
Okay. Which
back in the 60s, Bata was the world's largest shoe company. Mm. And so they held it from 1966. And then in 1988, they were going to shut down these factories, because from 1980 to today, well over 1,000 shoe factories have closed in the United States.
Wow.
And in 1988, they were going to shut these factories down.
In Merrill and in Marshfield.
Put everybody out of work. They were shut them down. So similar to what, you know, Leinenkugel's is doing to Chippewa.
Yeah.
So a group of local businessmen got together and bought the company away from Bata Shoe.
Wow.
Allowing those guys. They had the vision to say, you know what? We don't want to put all these people out of work. And they bought the company away. And they held it from 1988 to 2000 when they spun it over to the employees.
To the ESOP.
So, yeah, I resonated with that story because, again, you got a big company.
Yeah.
Just making a corporate business decision to shut these factories down, putting 400 families out of work.
So if Bata had their way back in 1988, that would have happened. Yeah, we wouldn't be sitting here.
And all these jobs would probably be, honestly, over in China.
Probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ron Nicholas was one of the local businessmen who was founder of River Valley, Incredible Bank.
Yeah. Used to be River Valley. Yeah.
He really drove the group of businessmen to be able to buy that from Bata.
Wow.
And again, save everybody. So you're right.
A real local push to do that.
Without that, we wouldn't be sitting here now.
Wow.
Amazing.
We owe them a lot.
And just like those guys bought the Wausau Center Mall, it was going to be sold to some Jersey company.
Yeah, Jersey and Georgia and something, yeah.
Who knows?
And now they're turning into beautiful apartments. You know, local is always important. If we can keep things local, and God bless the people of Merrill and the Wausau area in 1988 for doing that with Thorogood and the brand, and keeping it alive.
Off. Amazing.
And our board now understands that. And, you know, we, as Rob said, we've got people sniffing around wanting to buy us. But we know if we sold to a big company, it would be just a matter of time where all these factories got shut down.
Right.
And we're not going to do that. So
that's awesome.
They could come in and throw a lot of money at us and acquire us for a lot of money, but we're not interested. We're not for sale. We're investing in Made in USA, investing in Wisconsin, and that's what we're going to continue.
And investing in your employees.
Right. Yeah, that is great. Where were you guys born and raised?
Well, I was
much cooler than mine.
Raised in Southern California.
Oh, cool. Much cooler than mine, too. That's pretty cool.
Southern California. Then I spent 25 years in Colorado Springs.
What part of Southern California?
Orange County.
Wow, okay. The real deal.
The OC.
Are you a surfer?
I was.
Okay.
Yeah, I was.
Did you do any of that on Lake Wausau?
Long hair surfers.
Yeah. Long hair surfer. Cool.
Okay.
You go from the OC to Colorado to here. My wife goes, we are not retiring in Alaska. The progression stops here.
Yeah, you found home.
Do you downhill ski?
No, but, you know, mountain biking and, you know, hiking and
a lot of outdoor activities.
Yeah, which is what I do here. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of mountain biking and kayaking and things.
Have you heard about the new mountain bike track they're putting in and renovating out in Rip Mountain?
No, I haven't heard about that.
Oh, that's going to be coming up on the Wausau Business Show. Thanks for listening.
Stay tuned.
All right. Yeah. And Rob?
Yeah, I grew up in Eastern Washington, born and raised in Richland, Washington. Went to Wazoo. From Wazoo.
Yeah.
McCougar. Cool. Yeah.
So you moved from Wazoo to Wazoo.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, spent pretty much my whole life there before moving to Nebraska. And I remember when they recruited me, Cabela's did, they said, we want you to come work for Cabela's. And I said, well, where's Cabela's? And they said, Nebraska. I said, where's Nebraska?
Never heard of it.
So I keep going east. I think I'm done going east.
Were you in Omaha?
No, we were in Sydney, Nebraska.
Okay.
Panhandle. Oh. So it was actually closer to Colorado and Wyoming than it was Nebraska, it felt like.
And where did you guys go to undergrad?
Cal State Fullerton is where I went.
Cal State Fullerton. Cool. Wow.
Then Wazoo for me.
And then Wazoo. We mentioned that. Yeah. Is Cal State Fullerton or Wazoo in the tournament this year?
Negative for okay. Wazoo.
What do you guys got in your brackets? Are you doing brackets?
I'm not. I didn't fill out a bracket this year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I got too much other things to worry about. I'm not doing the brackets.
I got Florida.
Florida?
Yeah.
I probably would. I didn't do a bracket either because I'm also far too busy. But I would have probably gone with Auburn. I mean, they're the number one overall seed. Yeah. My heart goes with Wisconsin.
I was going to say, not Wisconsin?
Yeah. And we're both alums. So, yeah, I would have done Wisconsin. Who am I kidding? Of course I would have picked Wisconsin.
Well, what's aside from the people of the area, as we wrap up here, what would you say your favorite part of central Wisconsin is, gentlemen?
I think mine is like Rob said earlier, it's a beautiful area, but the people are really good people here. I mean, mm-hmm. they're just kind. They're friendly. I mean, grew up in Southern California. Not that there aren't good people out there, but it's a different mentality.
They're all potheads.
I'll say.
My neighbors, I didn't know who they were.
You know? Yeah. They didn't know who they were.
No.
Who am I?
You wave at somebody. They look at you like, what are you looking at? Why are you waving at me? What did I do to you?
Yeah.
So here it's just a different mentality. It's friendly, hardworking,
engaged,
good people. That's what I like the most. Yeah.
What's your favorite place to kind of go out to dinner in the area?
I think Lemongrass downtown.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Great. The restaurant at the Hill and Garden Inn.
Van Acre.
Yeah, Van Acre.
Van Acre's is excellent.
Yeah. They do a good job with that.
I think as much as we travel, as many restaurants as we go to around the country, around the world, going out to eat is not as big a thrill to us.
It's nice to be home when you're home, right?
Yeah. How about go home and get a meatloaf, you know?
Yeah, right.
Getting out on the river over here. You ever fish for muskie over here yet?
Oh. I haven't. I've fished in the lakes for muskie, but not the river.
Okay, well,
I've heard there's.
I know, Nate. Yeah.
I mean, Nate. What, Nate? Between Wausau and Merrill, like in Brokaw area.
Hey,
tons
Paul.
Of muskie,
okay,
right?
That's enough. I don't think we should give that away. Then, if people don't know, I didn't realize.
Can you edit this?
No, we don't edit.
Sorry, Nate.
Back to what Jeff said. I would say this is. I travel all around the world. And this is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And I'm lucky to live here. And Jeff's right. When my wife and I came on a recruiting trip and we're looking at homes and dealing with the banks and insurance and all that. And we just called it Wisconsin nice because we couldn't believe how friendly and how nice and supportive the local community of Wausau was. It was incredible. It blew us away. It was actually part of why we signed up to move to Wisconsin is because how the community was and how nice people were and supportive. And so, it's huge. And to have Four Seasons, just so many really neat things in Wisconsin. I can't believe all the manufacturing that's here.
Right.
You know,
Iconic. All
the outdoor things that you can do. I mean, you can go in any direction and do something, whether you're kayaking, mountain biking, snow skiing. It's crazy. We have our own snow ski mountain. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty unusual.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it has been an honor to talk to you about the legacy. If people had one key takeaway about Thorogood and Weinbrenner and the future of the company, what its past has been and where it's going, what would that takeaway be?
That we are committed to made in USA. We're going to continue to invest. We're not going to pull up roots and take our production to Miramar or whatever the countries that people are going to.
Yeah.
When people talk about, well, we're thinking about coming back and building a factory where we could do this, it's like, you know, we've been here for 133 years. We never left. We always believed in Made in USA, believed in the working people from Made in USA.
Believed in Central Wisconsin.
Believed in Central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And that's I think, the takeaway is we're going to continue to call this our home and build product here in the United States.
That's refreshing to hear.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jeff, for that. And thank you to the board of directors of Weinbrenner. And thanks for coming on the Wausau Business Show. It's been a real honor. Manufacturer of the Year.
Well deserved.
Weinbrenner.
Congratulations, guys.
Weinbrenner Shoes.
Thanks for having us.
Guys. When does Marshfield open, by the way?
Hopefully late fall of this year.
Oh. Late fall. Okay, late fall. All right, another round of applause.
Yeah. Or early winter.
Or early winter. Okay.
Thanks, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
Find yourself a girl and settle down. Live a simple life in a quiet town. Steady as she goes. Steady as she goes. So steady as she goes. Kink in the single life. You've had too much to think, now you need a wife. Steady as she goes. So steady as she goes.
top of Rib Mountain State Park. This is the one and only Wausau Business Show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Carlson of Greenfire Management Services. Greenfire is a trusted local commercial construction manager. Greenfire provides detailed and innovative services so you can focus on growing your business. We're all about helping companies and communities thrive, so Greenfire is pleased to sponsor the Friend of a Friend competition to support the continual growth of Central Wisconsin. Contact us today to discuss your next construction project. Learn more at greenfire.com. That's greenfire.com.
At Rooter Ware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
The Wausau Business Show.
Everybody had a across the USA.
Broadcasting from the big stick on the top of a big mountain named Rib. This is the Wausau Business Show.
Yes, it is.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
Thank you for listening with us. And now Tara Drager's on the horn to talk to us about the Life Report, which if you don't know about this, it's pretty cool. Tara, are you there?
Hi.
Tara Drager from Aspirus, one of the great institutions in Wausau.
Absolutely. Number one employer in Marathon County.
Number one. How's Matt Haywood doing?
He's doing well.
Good.
Keeping yeah. busy, you know.
Yeah, always busy. CEO, right? Yeah, is he CEO right? is his title, or is it CEO and chairman of the board?
CEO, yeah.
Great guy. And Tara, you are... Sorry?
He is, yeah.
Yeah. And Tara, you are one of the leaders of the Life Report, which is done through the United Way. Explain what the United Way's Life Report is and how frequently it comes out and what the purpose of it is, because it's a really cool report.
Yeah, so the Life Report really assesses the strengths and opportunities that exist within our community. It dates back a long time. I think this is our 25th report. And it used to happen every 2 years. We obviously had a break in there, and we decided to do it every 3 years, and that aligns with some of the requirements for hospitals and health departments. So we are assessing the community every 3 years, and this is our opportunity to open the survey widely, which is the first time we've ever done this, to really get as much feedback from the community as we can.
So Tara, how do people actually get to the survey and take this big, beautiful survey?
Right. There's a few ways. It is live on our Marathon County Pulse website, and you can go to that website and you can take it there. If you do need help, you want to take a paper survey, you know, you can reach out to the health department, and it is translatable. So our surveys are in a couple different languages. So we've tried to make it as easy as possible. I think there's some paper surveys at the library and some places like that, some public places as well, if you don't have access online.
And I think you can go to UnitedWayMC.org too, right?
Yes, absolutely.
United Way of Marathon County's website. Cool. Well, Tara, thanks a lot. And when does the survey close?
I know when it goes. Oh, May 31st.
All right. And it's open now.
It is open now. Yeah, it opened March 1st and it closes May 31st. So within that time frame, we're trying to get as many surveys as we can from as many perspectives as we can. And
yeah. Well, log in now and take the survey. In
Sounds
other words,
good.
It's open.
Do we?
Survey.
Yes.
By taking the survey, do we automatically qualify to win anything like many surveys?
No, we didn't do that this year. And we talked about that as a steering committee. People love to win things.
Yes, we do.
You win a better quality of life because you're going to tell us what we need to work on, and hopefully we all can work together to improve the quality of life here in Marathon County.
I'll take that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Paul told me that 100% of Marathon County listens to the Wausau Business Show, so therefore, by extension, 100% of Marathon County should take the survey, according to Paul's math.
Yeah, you're going
to
get record respondents on this one.
You know what? We would be so happy. And Aaron from the health department has a huge goal to hit thousands of surveys. So if we can make that happen, we will make his day.
Okay. Thousands. You heard her, Marathon County.
Let's make somebody's day, Marathon County. All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Tara. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tara.
Thank you so much.
Thanks Tara. All right. Good stuff. Life. YOLO.
Yeah, life.
pretty important. Hey,
who's coming up on number 50?
50 is a big one.
We're going from Weinbrenner to
Weinkauf. Coach Weinkauf, the legend, will be on next week.
Mr. Tom Weinkauf will join us for March Madness, baby.
And he's a six-time, we'll get into it next week, but he is a six-time state champion as a coach.
We're going from Wisconsin Manufacturers of the Year to Wisconsin Coach of the Year.
Coaches of the decades.
Yeah, maybe. Or decades. Yeah.
He's going to go over his career. He's going to go over his business side of things, and he's going to tell us how to mold kids into...
How to mold kids. We're going to talk about mold on kids. Not quite as good as mold on cheese, though, everybody. There, hey, oh, hey.
Yeah, mold on cheese is ideal, I think.
Oh, get that mold on there. Well, that's what they call the blue cheese, hey.
That blue in there is actually mold
in
there, hey.
Yeah, hey. All right, until then, from High Top Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show Tranny Mission.
And
you're not supposed to get political, Paul.
I didn't.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
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 Well, I'm gone. Can I kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does? Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is
a big Wausau Business Show Transmission. Allreiz reserviert 2025.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. One of the world's busiest airports is back in business. CBS's Haley Ott is at Heathrow in London.
Flights in and out of Heathrow are resuming after a fire at an energy substation nearby knocked out power in the area and forced Europe's largest airport to close, which caused travel chaos for hundreds of thousands of people. Ripple effects of the disruption will still be felt for days. UK officials have said no foul play is suspected in the fire, though the investigation is being led by counterterrorism police. Concerns have been raised over the fact that one fire was able to shut down Europe's largest airport. And officials here say they will look at the